Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
We're in a season or a new series right now called Rule and Reign. And so I was originally going to title today's message, that we are royal people. And you are a royal person and a king's call. And we have a call as kings, as sons and daughters. And I didn't call it a king's call because I didn't want to be sexist. And I thought if your title's sexist, you're going to lose everybody straight away. So I've renamed it. And but I thought about what I was really trying to say. And sometimes I feel unheard. Does anyone else ever feel unheard? Yep. I'm sure you're all smiling at me right now. I love the expression. And you're going to have to be a little bit louder today. Can we be a bit louder? It's all muffled up here. So here's some questions. What do you do when you should be valued by others, but they don't seem to care? Or have things to offer this world, but you are never considered? You are a real-life human, yet you feel unloved and unlovable. Or once you believed God called you, but life is still so hard. You know God is real, but he seems to do nothing for you. I think we've all felt this at some point in our life, if we're honest. Or you once believed God had a purpose for your life, and this stirred you every morning when you woke up, but God appears to have left you in a world that is completely against you. Do you feel unheard sometimes? See, these are feelings that most of us actually feel at some point. And I just want to be straight up today that God is still a good God and he sees you when you aren't unheard. And we're going to have a look at this. You know, these are real feelings. So what do we do? Well, today we're going to discover two choices that we have as human beings in this world. God wants to release you from these feelings and these thoughts. However, the release will come through a new understanding and behavior on our part. So are you ready to receive some truth and then say to yourself, but I'm going to activate this truth. I'm going to partner with God so I can be delivered from this feeling of unworthiness, that I'm never heard in life, that people don't see me, and that God doesn't see me, because he truly does see you. But we have to do something here. And so let me go through the life of David, and just as a quick giveaway, glimpse into the crust of the message here this morning, your two choices, are you ready for them? It's to either react in life or to act. Reaction or action. We always have these two choices in life in every circumstance of reaction or action. Now, David in the Bible, when he was 15 years old, he was out in the field tending his sheep, and he had a call from his brother, came and saw him and called him, and an amazing prophet was there, Samuel. And Samuel, at the age of 15, anointed David to become the next king of Israel. That's a huge calling, isn't it? And imagine being 15, you're going to be the president of America, and I'll just set you apart, put you into a training program. Well, this was David at the age of 15. For years, David had evident favor on his life. It was evident to everybody that God was with David. David's the man that killed Goliath. He won the king's daughter when he did that. He was promoted. He was blessed by the then King Saul. And kingdoms, the Bible teaches us, knew the name of David. God was evident with David. Have you ever felt in your life that God is with you? I feel like that right now. I'm going through an amazing season in my life of blessing, a couple of years now of just blessing after blessing after blessing. And you might have gone through seasons in your life, especially when you gave your heart to God. It's like God sees me and his love is so real for me right now. And now I understand things I never understood. And you gave your life to God, or maybe you got married, or you've just gone through different seasons. You've been blessed. You got houses and cars. And often we see the blessing of God through things we obtain, don't we? Have you noticed that? We often will say or declare that God is blessing our lives, or God is with me, or God is for me, by the actual material things that we obtain. But that's not how we are to gauge whether God is for us or against us, or if he's with you in your life right now. We don't gauge him by what we receive. That's just his bountiful gifts that we just spoke about in generosity. And so he might give, but sometimes he doesn't give. You know, there's times in my life my dad doesn't give to me. I've got a great dad. Can we put our hands together for my father down the front row? Mr. Politansky. I've got a great dad. I remember as a boy, everybody called him George. I don't know why you call everyone George. We grew up in Townsville Church, and everyone knew my dad as George, and their names were also George. It was just like this George family, and everyone loved my parents. I was so proud as a boy to be a Politansky. Everyone knew us. Everyone loved us in Townsville. All the churches, all the pastors knew us and loved us. But there are times where my dad does not give me what I want. Am I the only one? I'm feeling lonely up here. He blesses me all the time, but there are times he will withhold. Does that mean he loves me less? Does it mean he's for me or not for me? Does it mean that he doesn't cry out and cry to God, God, I just want to give to Graham right now, but he needs to walk this for himself? You know, he's always, his mind, his heart is always for me. My parents, their heart and their mind is all, and you have a heavenly Father, and he's just like that for you. Your God in heaven, his every thought, the Bible teaches us, is on you. It's on me, but I share some of his thoughts with you as well. But his every thought is on us. God loves us. And so David was in a season of immense blessing. Then God disappeared. Where did he go? The king ended up jealous of David. The king set to hurt and to kill David, King Saul of the day. This one boy, 15 years old. At this time, he's probably like 18 or 19 years old, and the king is set to kill David. The king convinced all of Israel that David was a bad person, that David had to flee for his life. This is what the book of Samuel is about in the Bible, with David fleeing for his life. David lived in caves, on the run, and constantly attacked by people, not just Saul, by people of every town or village he would go to, because they all heard that David was a bad man. Yet this is the same guy that Samuel anointed to be the next king. This is the same guy that killed Goliath. This is the same guy that King Saul actually gave his daughter to marry, and now he's set out. Does anyone else ever feel like this sometimes in their lives? The ups and the downs of life. But David had a choice, action or reaction. And this is what David chose. David chose action. David chose action. So what does action look like? What do I mean by this today? Why don't we read 1 Samuel 19, 1-6 in the New King James Version. It'll be up on the screen behind me. It says, "Now Saul, which is the current king, spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David." They were actually best friends. "So Jonathan told David, saying, 'My father Saul seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard until morning and stay in a secret place and hide. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. When what I observe, I will tell you.' Thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, 'Let not the king sin against the servant,'" against David, "'because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good towards you. For he took his life in his hand and killed that Philistine," which was Goliath, "and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all of Israel. You saw it and you rejoice. So why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without cause?" So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be killed." Crazy, hey, because just four verses later, this is what it says in verse 10. "Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall. So David fled and escaped that night." But it's not over yet. After this, they reconciled once again. And then five chapters later, Saul is chasing David once again to kill him. This is what it says in chapter 24, verse 3. It says, "So he came to the sheepfold by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went into the cave to attend to his needs," which just basically means he went to do a wee-wee. "Now, David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave." So David was actually in that same cave. "Then the man of David said to him," now listen to this, church, because people say this to us, good friends, "this is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do him to him as it seems good.'" David now has a choice, doesn't he? His own friends are advising him. This is God. God brought him here so you can destroy the one that's trying to destroy you. See, the enemy does this all the time. You know what I've noticed in my life? Is the enemy always uses my really good friends. And I've got some really good quality friends. But sometimes we speak out of season. Sometimes we don't speak with the anointing of God on us. And you can be an amazing person yet still speak foolishness. Remember Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." See, Peter was an amazing guy. All through the scriptures, you know, an amazing man. But there are seasons and times all of us speak without the anointing of God. And what we speak, we have to decipher that. And we have to say, God, is this a time for reaction or is this a time for action? And, you know, David chose in this moment not to react to Saul. Saul was right there. Instead, David then chose Saul that he had the opportunity to kill him, because David went, while he was having a wee-wee, David went and got his coat and actually cut the corner off the coat. And then when Saul disappeared and he was in a safe distance, David yells out to Saul and he goes, "Look, I had the opportunity just then to kill you. I have your coat." And then Saul turned around and repented once again, like Saul does. And then we find a little later in the scripture that the same thing happens, is Saul once again gets angry and frustrated with David. Basically, jealousy was overtaking his life. And then, so David went into Saul's tent one night while he was sleeping. Now, the Bible says that God put a sleep over Saul and his soldiers. So they were all sleeping in the tent. And as you do when you go to bed, you get your spear out and you put it just beside you in the ground. So David snuck in. And he got the spear, took the spear with him. And then he goes back into a safe distance and wakes everyone in the camp up and yells out to him. And he goes, "Look, Saul, I could have killed you once again, but I'm not going to touch a man of God." What? "I'm not going to touch a man of God." This guy is chasing him down to kill him. You know why David said this? And this is a great thing for all of us to remember. Can I go on a little rant? This is why it's so important we are careful about what we post. Okay, especially about our government during COVID. There's my rant. That's it, okay? Even Saul was against David, the God-anointed man to be the next king. But David would not lift a hand against God's anointed. See, here's the thing. Every person in position is anointed and is called by God to be there for that season and that moment. And we are never to react against posts or things in our world, no matter who they are, whether it's your pastor. You know, I can say this today because I've got the mic. You know, whether it's your pastor or whether it's your, you know, prime minister or whoever it is, that God has people in your world. You need to know that you have a wife and you have a husband that's been called to be in your world for right now. Don't speak against them. Don't react to the situation. Because when we do that, we actually lose power. We don't gain power. See, reaction will rob you of your power. Reaction is the enemy's tool. And it sounds so good because we live in a day of reaction. We live in a day where we react. And it's okay because it's my right, right? So we live in a day where we are free and we have the freedom to react to things however we want. But when we live a life of reaction, we actually give away our power. And who wants to keep their power here this morning? We do that by being active people. So what is an active person? Well, David exampled it to us this morning in this scripture. Being an active person is being active in righteousness. Being an active person is being active with self-control. Being an active person is being active for the things and the morals of God, the precepts in the Bible. Being an active person is being active and standing in who you are, who you were raised to be as a child or a son. See, you are royalty. You are a son or you're a daughter of God. You are called into royalty here today. And so when we act like royalty. We act like people that choose our choices to be wise, to be uplifting, to have self-control, to speak life into people. We are active in those areas of life. We do not react like the world reacts to situations. We act according to what God has called us to do. Is that good? Does that help someone today? You know, what I love is, in David's mind, it wasn't about fair. In David's mind, or it wasn't about his time. You know, it's my time to be king. I was called. In David's mind, his mind doesn't think like that. Or look how I'm living because of you. Look what you've done to me. See, David's mind doesn't think like that. David has moments, if you read the Psalms, David has moments where he's really angry, sometimes quite peed off and upset with God. But you'll notice at the end of every single psalm, he turns his heart always towards God in surrender, because David's mind is in unity, in unison with his heart. In other words, his flesh and his inner man is in unity together. And so while his flesh at times struggles and he gets really frustrated, and we read that in Psalms, he will always realign himself with his inner man, which is, God, but I bow my knee to you. You called me, and you for right now have called Saul. And I know that my time will come, and so I lift my head, and I look up to where my God is, and I lift up to give you praise today. I will not react to the circumstances, but I'll remain active in who you are, because you're a good God, and my time is about to come. Church, can I tell you today, your time is coming. Your time is about to come. Never give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't let fear overcloud you. Don't allow yourself to react to circumstance, to life, to COVID, to family. You may have the worst family in the world today. Some people have those people. You may have the worst family in the world, but don't react. Remain integrous in who you are. You know, once you lived that way, but now I'm a new creation. I am born again. I have the mind of Christ. The Bible says this all about us. And so you can live a life of action as opposed to reaction. David always chose action. He always chose it. So what does action look like? It's actively remaining faithful to God, even when your friends encourage you otherwise. They encourage you to react. Or your life is in danger. The call of God hasn't been evident for years. Can I just say to you that I just really, as I was preparing the message, I just really felt there's some people here and you've been coming to this amazing church. And there's a lot of people missing today, but I've got a real sense the right people are here today. I've got a real sense that there's some people here today and you kind of had that great attitude of, COVID's not going to stop me from getting there on Sunday. And I just want you to know that you've been coming to this amazing church, and we're just so, so blessed as a church. So blessed. We're in just an amazing season. And you've been watching it. You've been hearing testimonies. You've been seeing it around you. And the specific person I'm talking to right now, you really struggled to put your thing up on the cross. But I'm proud of you because you did. And I want you to know today, this is a word from God for you, that your time is coming. You will be king. Your time is coming. you will walk in the same blessing. See, God's blessing hasn't gone away because of the season you're with. It's just like my dad's blessing for me. It's just on hold for a little. Because God is wanting to do something in your life right now. And the key to this, the key to allowing God is to not react, but to remain active in who God's called you to be. Active in faith and faithfulness, in persistence, in endurance. You know, a fruit of the Spirit is you know, endurance. And I just want to encourage you, whoever that is today, I just want to encourage you, your time's about to come. And I can even just see right now in the spirit realm, like a crown coming down over you. Son, your royalty, amen? You receive that today if that's you. Reaction is led by feelings or circumstances. Action is led by faithfulness and integrity. We always have the choice to either react to a situation or act right before God with integrity. Reaction today, it's common to live in. It's common to live in reaction. We react to pressure and we throw our insults or ungrounded opinion or accusations. But action, we are called to. We are called to live a life of action out of the heart, a heart for God. We are called to live a life of action out of a heart for God. Activating God's action is generally viewed as foolishness, weakness, and fear. Let me say this again. I just want us to get this today. Activating God's action is generally viewed as foolishness, weakness, or fear. See, David was adamant to not react to the king's false accusations about him. But he looked like a fool. He looked weak. His own friends thought he was weak. And he looked like he was full of fear. Could you imagine? Everyone knows that David is on the run from all the villages and towns. And every opportunity David has to redeem himself, he doesn't do it. Because he has a heart for God, and God has a heart for Saul, his king. And so David was honoring that. He looked like a fool. But if David lived a life of reaction, he would never have been able to action righteousness, forgiveness, or dependency on God. I believe the reason why David was such an amazing king when he did become king is because people could see that he was righteous, that he was gracious. People could see that he was patient, that he would endure, that you could do anything to King David. You could say any nation could come against Israel. And David would weigh up the cost wisely. No matter what any nation did to Israel, David would always seek God and return to God. And all of Israel, I reckon that this is why it made him a good king. Let me tell you today, what's going to make you an amazing woman, amazing husband, an amazing wife, an amazing parent, an amazing friend, is that your friends are looking at your life and they're going to see that you are patient. They're going to see that you're wise. They're going to see that you pray before you react, that you aren't a person of reaction, that you aren't known for what you're against, but you're known for what you're for. And your friends and family and everyone's going to see that and they're going to go, that's a person worth following. Amen? You know, what we are for, not what we are against. So today is the launch of the theme, Rule and Reign, and each of us has the ability to rule and reign in our lives. Not because we are simply brilliant, although some of us are simply brilliant, but because God is with us and God is for us. Amen? Joy, happiness, love, we need all this. All of us needs this all the time. But they don't come from other people. If you're dating today and you're looking to get married, you need to know that when you do get married, your spouse doesn't fulfill the love that you require. You need to know that. I'm just saving some marriage counseling here this morning. That they don't fulfill. Kids are great. I love them. I've got my own farm at home at the moment. Okay, I've got lots of kids, is what I meant. and we're looking after other kids. That's why, if you're wondering, four's not many. Well, I've got more at the moment. But having kids does not fulfill that thing inside of us. God fulfills it. He's the only one. I love that song. I've mentioned it before. I got the artist wrong, but there's a God-shaped hole in all of us. And God's the only one that can feel that in your life. And these feelings of love and happiness and joy don't come from people. It comes through a relationship with God. Scripture teaches us that we are never unheard. David felt lonely, like God forgot that he chose David to be the king. But in these moments of life, we have the opportunity to show what we really believe. To be known what we're for and not to be known for what we're against. To action forgiveness towards our enemy. To action love towards those who don't seem to care. To action grace when people say the wrong thing. And to action faithfulness when God is really quiet. You may be unheard by those around you in your world, but you are never unheard by God. So today I just want to encourage you to keep believing. Keep calling out to God because He will hear you. He will answer you. And when He does, it will be worth the wait. Amen? It will be worth it. My last verse today is Psalms 34, verse 15. We don't have this up on the screen, but it says, "The eyes of the Lord, which are over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help." See, just because we may feel unheard, it doesn't mean we are. God is doing mighty things on our behalf. In this season of your life, you need to know that God is moving on your behalf. And just like David, God will redeem you. Amen? You receive that today, church? It's awesome. So we react or we act. And I want to give you the answer today. The best way to live is through action. Amen? Awesome. You know, there's many people here this morning and you've just been listening to this message and you can kind of relate to this from the perspective of reacting at God. And, you know, God sometimes doesn't seem like He's coming through for you. And maybe you brought up in interesting circumstances in life, or you haven't been taught about the love of God and the purity of God and how much He loves you and cares for you and how much He thinks about you. And maybe the way you've been brought up is that God just must be a God that doesn't care. And I just want to say to you today that might give you the feelings to react towards Him. You know, maybe you've lost loved ones in your life and you just don't understand what's going on, what God's doing. And so that would lead you to react. But I just want you to know that God does love you. And now is a time for action in your life. And I'm wondering if you would be willing and confident today to say, you know what, I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to take an action towards God. I can see today that His heart's for me. He's never left me and I'm never unheard by Him. I can see here today in this place that God is real and He's working on my part. You know, when I was young, a preacher, I don't even remember who it was, but they said to me that, "Graham, every time you feel like God's at a distance, what you need to understand is the spirit realm." And I'll just change my mic. Just mute the other mic, thanks, Ellen. And he just said, "You need to understand the spirit realm." And he said, "Just because things aren't happening in your world right here, right now, you can't see God around you. God is for you, never against you. And in the spirit realm, He is shifting things. He is declaring things. His angels are active in battle right now, breaking the power of the enemy around you and for you so that you can be victorious." You know, that really left something inside of me. And every season I've been through where I felt God at a distance, I've known and I've remained faithful to God because I'm like, "God, I know that right now there are things out there that I don't understand,
But one thing I know is you are for me and you aren't against me. And so right now there are battles going on and you are moving mountains for me. And church, he is doing that for you. And you might not know God, you might not have a relationship, you've never given your heart to him before. But you need to know right now that he is moving mountains for you. He is moving the spirit realm for you. The enemy will not be successful over your life. And when you give your heart to God, you are a royalty. You are a queen or a king of God, and you are called and anointed, and your day is coming of blessing and breakthrough. And right now is the opportunity for you to start that in your life. So, church, can we all close our eyes? And if that's you this morning, you would love to just clearly give your heart to God. Could I just ask you to be really bold, every eye is closed. Could you just lift your hand so I can see? And I'm just going to pray with you from the platform. I see your hand there, ma'am. You can put that down. Is there anyone out here this morning? Just going to look around one more time. Just be bold in this moment. Amen. Amen. This is what I'd love to do this morning. Every eye, if we could just keep our head. And ma'am, if you could just look at me. I'm just going to say a prayer. I want you to own this like it's your first prayer with God. And I don't know if you're recommitting your heart to God or if this is your first. Is this your first time giving your heart to God? No? Yep, recommitting. So just own this like your prayer this morning. Father, I come to you humbly. And I've really felt you at a distance at many times. But I know today my faith is stirred and I feel strong in you. And I know that you are always with me. Never leave me or forsake me. And so today I choose to come and give you my life afresh, anew. I'm a daughter of God and I will never leave you. God, would you protect me so that in my weakest moment, I will never deny you and I'll never walk away. Holy Spirit, would you always pull me back? And I thank you for this opportunity and for your grace, Lord God, as I'm now a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, can we put our hands together once more? Fantastic decision. You know, I'd love you to come back to church every Sunday. We do this every Sunday. And at the giving station, you can also fill out a Connect card and somebody will get in contact with you. We've got life groups in the church that you can be part of as well, which would be fantastic. And I just want to encourage you, read your Bible. Through reading the Bible, that's how God speaks to us. You know, this is always important for us. Hey, church, you know, that we always want to hear the voice of God. And he speaks to us through the words on those pages. And the Holy Spirit just brings them alive. And that's how God speaks to us. And prayer is just talking with God. And just encourage you to be talking with God every single day. And although it feels like he doesn't talk back sometimes, read your Bible and he does.